We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! Oh my gosh, this is our spooky week episode.
Yeah, this is our special, our Halloween special, and we'll be talking about the Halloween episode, Hairography.
Hairography. Everyone's favorite.
It doesn't feel like Halloween unless I watch Hairography, and then it officially feels like the Halloween season.
I say that every year. Yeah. I didn't plan any spooks for this episode.
I'm sorry. Right as... As I was getting ready to record, I was like, should I tell Lena that we should wear Halloween costumes while we record?
That's a purely visual gimmick
in an audio art form. It would not translate.
Someday, we'll take this show on the road like they did the Glee Tour, and we'll wear costumes.
And we'll do Halloween. You know what? Lena and I have talked about in our wildest dreams, we take Recovering Gleek on the road. So tell all your friends to listen.
I feel like all of my favorite podcasts
so that we can do a live tour of Recovering Gleek.
Could you imagine? Like these two freaking assholes from the Southwest go on tour to talk about Glee.
I just imagine if we went on tour now. And we, first of all, would only be able to tour to Cedar City. And we would have 10 people come and be like, wow.
I love those 10 people.
Yeah. I love everyone all over the world who listens to this podcast, but I guarantee there's only one of you per city. And in Cedar City, there's at least more than one.
That freaks me out. I can't even. Oh, never mind. We're never going to go on tour.
In honor of Halloween, let's do something spooky. Lena, what's the spookiest thing that's ever happened to you in your whole life?
Okay, well, hear me out. I have a theory, and those of you who know and love me know this theory that I have about myself. I think that if ghosts exist, and I think they do, that they don't want to talk to me. Here's what I mean by that. I really think that if a ghost appeared to me, if some sort of like apparition, some sort of ghost slash demon slash spirit slash angel, if any of those things appeared to me, I would be way too excited. I don't think ghosts are looking for that kind of commitment. Because hear me out. I dream about meeting ghosts where I'm like, oh my God, like, thank you so much for choosing me. Like, let's talk about your unfinished business. What do you need from me? And also tell me all about your life. And like, here's all my, like, I would fucking annoy them. So I haven't had any, like, I really haven't had a lot of paranormal experiences. But back when I was doing Much Ado just these last months, one time I was filling up my water bottle and I felt like someone tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around and no one was there.
Bum.
Ian.
Yes.
Have you had any paranormal experiences? Oh, God. Ian, have you had any paranormal experiences? What's the spookiest thing that's ever happened to you?
Not to, like, douse your fire.
Bring it down? Oh.
But I've had multiple interactions with
ghosts. Oh, I hate to hear that.
There is not a doubt in my mind that ghosts exist. I'm sorry, everyone. The first one, I guess I've had two different incidents that had a lot of things happen. Mm-hmm. The first one was, we were having a family reunion. So it was like me and all my cousins, and we were staying in this place, and the place was like famously haunted, but I didn't know that because I was really little. I was like 8. And so our aunts and uncles didn't tell the younger grandchildren because they didn't want to scare us. So this isn't the thing of, like, I knew it was haunted, and so, like, I just made this stuff up to, like, confirmation bias. I did not know that it was supposedly haunted. And so all of us, like, young cousins all stayed in this room together. And there was stuff where, like, the shower would turn on by itself and blah, blah, blah. But stuff like that could just be, like, weird plumbing stuff. The spooky one was one night, we're laying in bed. It's like late at night, and we hear on the door.
Oh, God.
So we go, my sister Erin, who I'm currently living with, love you, Erin. She goes to answer the door, and there's no one there. And she was like, okay, it's probably just Alex, our brother, and Andrew, our other cousin, who was like Alex's best cousin friend. She was like, it's probably them just like pulling a prank on us, so whatever.
Best cousin.
We go back to bed. A few seconds pass and we hear on the door. Erin goes to answer the door. No one's there, and she yells into the hall like, Alex, knock it off. Closes it. She decides she's going to wait by the door so she can catch him in the act. A few seconds pass. We hear, she opens the door immediately. No one is there.
Whoa.
No one is there. No one's in the hallway. Nothing. And we found out after that the place was famously haunted, which our aunts and uncles already knew, but mm-hmm. they didn't even know this, that, like, historically, the ghosts in that place, one of the ways that they manifest themselves is by knocking. So what's up, whoever that ghost was?
I love
to love you to death. The other one was, this one is stupid. So when I was moving back from Florida after I'd worked in Disney World and I was moving back, my mom flew in to help me move all my stuff in the car and to drive me back. And my other sister, Connie, and her husband also came. So, like, the four of us were doing a little cross-country trip together. We stayed in this town called Mobile, Alabama. And my family is, like, so into ghost stuff. And so we
really?
Took... Yeah.
I love we to
do,
hear that.
We do, like, haunted tours all the time. So we did a haunted tour of Mobile, Alabama. And it was, like, haunted tours are so tacky, and they just drive around, and they're like, and this is where this person was murdered, and this is where this person was murdered. But the Mobile, Alabama one, most of the time on haunted tours, I feel like they're just putting on a show because they're trying really hard to, like, make it scary and, like, creep you out and blah, blah, blah. The Mobile, Alabama one, the woman just talked as if the ghosts were all her neighbors. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, this ghost lives in this house, and she's just, like, so loud all the time, and it's so annoying. Like, she talked about it like it was the most regular thing, which is why I believed her more, because I was like, you aren't trying to scare us. You just straight up were like, these are my annoying ghost neighbors and the annoying things they do to me. But the event that happened on the tour was, we went to this house that had, like, it was a house that, like, a big deal family had lived in, and just, like, generations of the family had died in the house. A lot of it was just, like, they got sick and died. It wasn't, like, a bunch of murders, but just, like, it had been a family's house for generations, and a lot of them had died in the house. And now the belief was that a lot of the family haunted that house. And then the ghost tour lady gave us all divining rods. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're going to talk to these ghosts. So,
just like, let's do it.
the divining rods we got were like metal rods that were in the shape of an L. And then you would hold on to like two metal cylinders, and the divining rod would be placed into the cylinder. So you were not touching the divining rods and you couldn't rotate them. You just keep your hands stationary and they'd rotate themselves. And she explained, I might be saying the opposite, but it was something like, if they cross, it's a yes. If they swing apart, it's a no. And you would ask the ghosts yes or no questions and the divining rods would cross or they'd swing apart. And I like talk to the ghosts and I'd be like, hey, well, first she was big on like, we got to be respectful because like it's their home. So she was like, totally. First ask if they want to talk to you. And one of them, I was like, do you want to talk to me? And they said no. And I was like, okay, is there anyone else I could talk to? So then you would just like wait until you found a ghost that you wanted to talk to, blah, blah, blah. And I would ask them a bunch of questions and I would sometimes circle back to the original question that I asked and they give me the same answer. But once again, that could just be like the rods were swinging and I really wanted it to be true. So I read too much into it. Sure. Here's the spooky part. I'd say stuff like point to the car and the rods would swing and stop at our car. And I'd be like, point to Matt. And the rods would swing and stop at my brother-in-law. And they would consistently point to the thing I told them to point to. So, what's up, ghosts? Happy Halloween, everyone.
That's cool they know Matt.
I know, right? It's like, wow, thank you for knowing my brother-in-law's name.
That makes me so jealous. I come from a family that, like, doesn't do ghosts. Like, my mom... Like, I remember I watched...
do ghosts.
Literally. I remember I was watching The Ring when I was, like... 13 with a bunch of friends in the basement and we were freaking out obviously because we're 13 and my mom came downstairs and she made us turn the movie off and she said that she won't let us watch scary movies in the house anymore because she doesn't like the spirits that it brings into the home. She just thinks that they like that they aren't good. My mom doesn't even talk about ghosts. My sister is very afraid of the idea of ghosts. I am the oddball out where I love ghosts, but I can't meet them. Because if I was doing the dowsing rod thing and a ghost said no to me, I genuinely swear to you, I think I would cry. I really think
just,
I would cry.
You do what I do and you say, okay, well, can you find someone else who does?
I know, but I would
wait
be like,
15
but
seconds,
why?
And then
but
you
why?
Ask, is this someone else? They swing to yes, and you say, do you want to talk to me? And they swing to yes again.
And you were like out in a field, right?
We were like in the side yard of the house.
Okay, cool. I just love to imagine the ghosts like just in a line, like, okay, they're doing their dowsing rod thing.
So you're
let's
like, the tour's back anyways. Whose turn is it this time?
Yeah, literally. Could you? And then being one of the ghosts like in the yard and being like, and you asking if you want to talk to them, if they want to talk to you, and then being like, no.
Seriously, like, ugh, just trying to go for a walk. I mean... I'm a big believer in, like, there's some... Well, we're getting, like, way into it. Happy Halloween. Yeah.
Happy Halloween. I love Halloween. Halloween's easily one of my favorite holidays.
I'm a big believer in, like, there are bad energies and bad spirits. So I don't, like, go about my life being, like, hit me up any spirit or energy. Like, my mom, if we had ever played a Ouija board in our house, mm-hmm. my mom would have murdered us.
Yeah, my mom would have had my ass.
Because her thing, like when we did the ghost tour, the tour guide was very clear about like, we're going to be respectful and make sure like they want to talk to us. And also like before the tour guide had to say a prayer and was like, please protect us from any malevolent spirits so we can like just talk to the good ones, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
But yeah, Ouija boards and stuff like that. And my mom, like, she says that she watched The Exorcist in high school and like it messed her up so bad. And she's like, I don't think anyone should ever watch The Exorcist. So we do like, no, I don't.
Do you want
to? I don't want to. I watched literally in this movie. I'm pretty sure is supposed to be dumb. But when I was like 12 or 13, I saw Haunting in Connecticut.
That movie is very frightening.
That movie screwed me up for like months.
That's
and
one of the very first scary movies I ever saw.
Yeah, and ever since I've been very wary of demonic possession movies.
Yeah.
I can do ghost stories, no problem, but demonic possession, it jacks me up. I don't like it. I stay out of it.
Yeah. I don't remember much about the movie, but trigger warning, what I'm gonna say is pretty gross. I just like have visions of the little box of eyelids.
That's what I remember the most. Is that literally there was a box of eyelids?
So gross.
I remember the kid having the ectoplasm come out of his mouth. Oh, and it looked like he was barfing in zero gravity, and then I remember the box of eyelids.
Yeah, and he was like,
you wanna know something?
Did you hear that?
It's like I hear like a whistle. What is that?
Big bonk in my house. I think the mailman just entered and slammed the door. It was very frightening.
Oh. Speaking of scary movies that messed us up. One time, the scary movie that has messed me up more than any other, and the thing is, I've never even seen it. And what? Also, it's supposed to be like really tacky and bad.
Yeah.
Is a movie called Sorority Row. So,
I've never even heard of that.
I saw the trailer once. Like, I was in a movie theater and the trailer played. And the trailer, I don't remember how old I was, but it traumatized me. And to this day, it kind of like makes me feel sick thinking about it.
Interesting.
And here's why. The premise of the movie is it's like all these sorority girls in college and they're in their senior year. And they did something sketchy in their like freshman or sophomore year that they then covered up. What?
Mailman.
The ghosts need to lay off. I'm in the middle of a story.
I'm so on edge.
They did something sketchy earlier in college that they covered up. And then like someone is it's like what I know what you did last summer. Like someone is haunting them. Who knows what they did and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But the trailer is all about the thing they did.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And so, like, the concept of, like, some ghost or person haunting them who, like, knows their mistake, that didn't freak me out. But the event that took place scarred me. It's one of the girls got cheated on. So they decide they're going to do a little sting operation to get back at the guy. And they're going to have one of the other girls, like, seduce him to prove that he's a cheater. And then while he's making out with her, she's going to fake a seizure just to like,
oh God,
to scare him and like revenge, blah, blah, blah. So that happens. And then they take it too far where he goes and he's like, she's like, something happened. She's sick. And then they're all like, oh my gosh, let's see how far we can push this. So they're like, oh, we're going to have to like dispose of the body. Like you killed her. So they put her in the back of the car and they all drive. And it's like, it shows like they're driving and she's laying in the back with one of the other girls and she's like laughing and the other girl's like, shh, like you're supposed to be dead. Like stop laughing, blah, blah, blah. They get out into a junkyard and they lay the body out and they're like, okay, like let's see how far we can go. And because the guy's freaking out and they're like getting revenge on him. So one of them's like, okay, next what we need to do is cut up the body to dispose of it.
Oh God.
And then the guy
finds. And this is their friend?
Yeah, because, like, they're joking, but then the guy who thinks it's real then picks up a shard of glass on the ground and stabs the body. And so then he actually murders her because he thought she was already dead. And that has haunted me for, I mean, over a decade at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty frightening.
My, like, one of my biggest fears is a joke going wrong to that extreme.
Totally.
So, Sorority Row, I don't know how the rest of the movie is, but those first few minutes of the trailer are terrifying.
Hear me out.
Yes.
I think we should watch the movie.
Okay. It's supposed to be very bad.
Yeah, I feel like maybe if you watch it, you'll
I'll
be
no
less
longer
afraid.
Be afraid of it.
Yeah, totally. I remember when I was growing up, my sister was so afraid of, like, all kinds of like scary things, like especially like the Scream mask and like Chucky. She just like had a big fear of like masks and like dolls in general. So she went to, and it was really bad. Like she would have like the most intense panic attacks I've ever seen a person have. Like I remember my little cousin, like a baby, was running around with a Scream mask on, and my sister, oh my gosh, she lost her mind. I'm sorry, Aubrey, if you are upset with me telling this story, but I think it's an interesting story. But then, so then she went to therapy, and the therapist had my mom put up like scary photos around the house, like in cabinets. There would be like a picture of Chucky and then like Freddy Krueger and Jason and like, you know, like all slasher things, like nothing like very upsetting, but like things that were very upsetting to her. So we just had those photos around our house for like a year. Wasn't that, and I, and as a person who loves scary movies and who loves slasher
you're
movies,
you're like, best year of my life.
Literally, I was like, I was probably like 8 or 9. I was, yeah, like, no, maybe I was like 11 or 12. Very exciting to me.
Yeah. I don't think that exposure therapy will work with Sorority Row because it's maybe not. It's not the movie Sorority Row that scares
it's
me.
Just the
it
thing.
Is the concept of you play this prank where you pretend someone died and then in the process someone unwittingly kills them. And yeah. I mean, exposure therapy for that would be me doing that exact prank, and that sounds like a terrible idea. Hi, everyone. Happy Halloween.
Oh, my God. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm a Gleek.
I'm the ghost of Ian Allred.
Oh, my God.
And I
spooky
am
version.
A spooky Gleek.
Oh, wait. Back it up. Hello. My name is Lena Knatzer, but the vampire version. And I am a Gleek who's here to suck your blood. This is our Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast. I know you think you're tuning into a
Halloween prank. We're just going to talk about Buffy this week.
We're talking about Buffy every single season, every single episode right now.
It's going to be like 10 hours long. I did that once. Okay, I swear we are talking about Glee, everyone, but it is Halloween. One time on my mission, I was telling... Okay, so for those who do not know, when you serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which I did...
you did.
For those 2 years, you don't really consume, like, media at all. And so a lot of times, first of all, you don't really get bored because you're very busy. But whenever we, like, were bored and had time to kill, what we would do to entertain each other is we would just tell each other, like, the plots of movies that the other one had not seen. And one time I was, my companion, so, like, the other missionary that I lived with, he was from Mexico. And he had never heard of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I literally, for like
you were
an
like,
hour and a half
you've
to
come
2 hours,
to the right place.
Gave him the synopsis in Spanish also, which I couldn't
really?
Do now. So I'm very proud of myself that I could then. I gave him the synopsis from season 1 to season 7. The complete synopsis of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Every single thing that happened.
I mean, not every single thing.
Did this.
But I'd go season by season and be like, here's the arc of this season. Here's the arc of this season. Here's the arc of this season. All right. Now, foolish mortals, we will talk about hairography.
Wow, should we start a soundscaping business?
Should we?
I can't wait to listen to that back.
Should we start a spooky white noise business? All right.
Spooky white noise.
Here... Here are your spooky glass. All right. So this episode premiered on November 25th.
Oh, God!
Ah! 2009.
Ooh.
It was directed by bloodthirsty Bill Delia.
Ah, Bill. Thirsty Bill.
It was written by Insane Ian Brennan.
Insane Ian.
All right. So this episode is called Hairography. It gets its namesake from the word hairography, obviously. And according to Urban Dictionary, hairography is choreography using a lot of dance movement with the head that causes the hair to thrash about.
Thrash.
Incredible, right?
Thrash. That's scary. That's a scary word.
Yeah, thrash. Like
thrash.
Like when you're running and someone's trying to kill you, they're thrashing at you. That's spooky. It guest stars Evil Eve as Grace Hitchens, the director at Jane Addams Academy. Eve is a Grammy-winning singer / rapper / actress / talk show host because she's now on The Talk. It also guest stars murderous Michael Hitchcock as Dalton Rumba, the director of the Hoverbrook. Is it Hoverbrook? Probably. School for the Deaf. Michael Hitchcock has been in like everything, every comedy thing you've ever seen
in
your entire
Haverbrook.
Life. Haverbrook. School for the Deaf. My apologies. He's been in everything. Most prominently, He's in a lot of the Christopher Guest movies, which are like Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman and For Your Consideration. Mm-hmm. You know who else is in a lot of the Christopher Guest movies?
You.
Besides me, I am. That is true. But also who? Jane Lynch herself.
That's so true. Yeah, oh my gosh.
So Michael Hitchcock and Jane Lynch were already buddies.
Wow.
And Michael Hitchcock in season three went on to become a writer for Glee and was a writer from season three to the end of its run. Yeah. So, what's up, Michael? Welcome to the family.
Scarlet Fever.
All right. The songs in this episode, we got Bootylicious by Depraved, Destiny's Child.
Depraved. I love it.
I'm trying to think of words. We also got Don't Make Me Over by, oh crap, I already used Depraved, by Deadly, Dionne Warwick, which... is only in the show as background. It's the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the music that plays when Kurt's giving Rachel the makeover, and then it plays in that like hallway scene when they're all, when like Rachel talks to Finn, and then Finn talks to Quinn, and then Quinn talks to Puck. But
great scene.
They had paid for the rights to put the song in the show.
Oh.
And then they were like, well, we already have the rights, so we might as well just record it as well. So on the soundtrack, there is a recording of Amber Riley singing it.
But oh,
it was
really?
Never, yeah, she was never intended to sing it in the show. But they were like, oh, we have the rights, so we might as well.
Cool.
We also have You're the One That I Want from...
Who, honey?
Ghoulish Grease, which I'm fairly certain is literally the exact audio from the pilot version, and they just replayed it.
I'm almost certain as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that today, and I got mad about it.
Then we got Papa Don't Preach by... I already did Murderous. By Malevolent Madonna. Then we have Hair and Crazy in Love mashed up. Hair is obviously from the musical Hostile. Hair.
Oh, scary. And
Crazy in Love is by, hold up, I already did Bloodthirsty.
Bewitching
Beyonce. By Bewitching Beyonce. Is this bit getting old yet? Then we got,
no,
there's so many freaking songs this episode.
There's so many songs.
Then we got Imagine by Jailed John Lennon. And then finally, end of the list, we have True Colors. By Sinister, Cyndi Lauper.
That's good.
All right.
Yay.
Those are your songs. We still haven't actually gotten to GLaDOS.
I'm excited.
So, here are some fun facts. The crew for the character of Grace Hitchens, which is the part that Eve played, the crew originally wanted Wicked Whitney Houston to play the part, but she declined.
Oh.
So, went to Eve. Mm. Hostile Heather Morris actually was the one to teach everyone what hairography was.
Okay.
And that's why they had her do it in the episode. And apparently the way that Brittany describes it in the episode is the way that Heather Morris described it to Ryan Murphy. And
that
then he just
so
wrote it into the script.
Like, what
I mean,
she say?
That she described it to raving mad Ryan Murphy.
That's accurate.
She says you throw your head about and you thrash around like you've been tasered. You're like spazzing and stuff. It's something along those lines.
Yeah.
Bone-chilling Brooke Lipton, who's the assistant choreographer for Glee, is one of the Jane Addams Academy girls in Bootylicious. She's the girl, she's
cool.
Got red hair, and then she's the only one that is in a full black t-shirt. All of them have, like, black accents, but she's entirely in a black t-shirt, and then you can see the yellow t-shirt poking out from the bottom. That's bone-chilling Brooke Lipton.
Cool.
This is a fact they have on Glee Wiki. The word distract / distracted / distraction is said 20 times in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then during the scene where Rachel goes to Kurt's locker and she's like, you set me up. And then she's like, you like Finn, blah, blah, blah. She is wearing the exact outfit that she wore in the last episode, Ballad, when she apologizes to Will. And those are your... Spooky Glax.
I'm genuinely afraid. That was
right?
So spooky.
Right.
Are you ready for the spooky recap.
I'm so ready.
Okay, so here's what you missed on Glee. Concerned that Sue is up to no good, Will pays a visit to an instructor, special guest star Eve, of a competing Glee club, Jane Addams Academy, to see what information she might be leaking. This in turn leads to the club getting a look at their hair-raising competition between both schools, as well as a competition between the New Directions and the Haverbrook School for the Deaf. Meanwhile, Kirk gives Rachel a makeover to impress Finn, but he may have ulterior motives. Quinn reconsiders having her baby adopted and letting Puck be a part of her life, but ultimately recommits to the idea. The episode ends with Sue giving the New Directions set list for sectionals to the competing clubs in order to damage the New Directions' chances of progressing to regionals! And that's what you missed on Glee! Phantom, a choice.
All right, what did you think of this episode?
I like this episode. I think I like it a little less than last week's episode, personally, but I do like this episode. What do you think?
I like almost everything about this episode except for the titular plot line. I think the hairography plot line is dumb and I don't like it.
Oh, it's so dumb. And it's also, I was watching it this morning and I was like, this is kind of about cultural appropriation in a way that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
You know what I do love about this episode? Everything is beginning to unravel and I'm getting very excited about it. Like, for so many weeks, we've been like putting up these plot lines that like are so, they're just so out there and they have to blow up in these people's faces. And I just saw like glimpses of things beginning to blow up and things beginning to unravel. And I am pumped as hell to see them blow up.
Heck yeah. Let's watch people's lives fall apart.
I love to see it. It makes great TV.
Let's get into these musical numbers.
Musical numbers.
Ooh. First up, we have Bootylicious.
Bootylicious. Whoa. Okay, so let's talk about the Jane Addams Academy girls.
Yeah.
Hear me out. I always love to see other Glee clubs in this show. Mm-hmm. I love the New Directions. They're my babies. I feel like an honorary member of the New Directions. I love these people. But I love watching other people compete. Especially because the choreography is always so much better because they're not hiring singers, they're hiring dancers.
Yeah, and then they just have other people sing it.
I eat that shit up. Yeah, I eat that shit up. I wonder who they have. I'd love to do some more investigating on, like, who does the backup vocals for Glee?
Well, at this point, it's still the kids.
Really?
The second half of the season is when it's no longer the kids. But at this point, the cast does their own backup vocals. For, like, Vocal Adrenaline and for Jane Addams Academy and stuff, it's not them. But all the Glee numbers, they're in Hollywood. So they just hire, like, people who, yeah, because a bunch of movies have, like, background choir vocals. So there's a bunch of people who just, like, sing for hire. Yeah, so it's just, I don't know, some Joe Schmo somewhere. My biggest note about Bootylicious is that Shadonda, can you handle this? Sounds so much better than Michelle, can you handle this?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And so every time I hear the Destiny's Child version, I'm like, I wish her name was Shadonda. Just like the consonants in Michelle. That name are so strong.
They're so
Shadonda, can you handle this? Incredible. Sorry, Michelle. You're very talented. I just wish you had more D's in your name, I guess. Bootylicious, you know? I don't have a lot of thoughts.
It's amazing. It's amazing. They're amazing.
I respect that every girl that goes to that school has to know how to do the splits.
Literally, the jump split happened. I nearly cried. I was like, geez, Louise. They're amazing.
Also,
I loved to see it.
This week on Turtle Watch, Will looks like a turtle while he's watching Bootylicious. While he's like all concerned because they're showing him up, he looks like a turtle.
When you say he looks like a turtle, is he making a certain face or does he just like perpetually look like a turtle to you?
He looks like a turtle always, but there are certain things that he will do with his face that exacerbate it. And those things happen when he is either concerned or crying. And that is when his inner turtle comes out.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Okay, the next real song, because we got like, you're the one that I want. We're not doing that one.
No.
The next real song we have is Papa Don't Preach.
Whoa, let's talk about Papa Don't Preach.
Okay, let's talk about Papa Don't Preach.
Can you imagine babysitting 3 young boys
and
then singing not just a Madonna song, but a Madonna song about teen pregnancy?
Like,
it's madness. What?
And like, Quinn's not being super suggestive about it.
But
she's not being suggestive about it.
Exactly.
Like, she's getting into the dancing a little too much for babysitting 3, like, 7-year-old boys.
Yeah, and the way that she, like, leans over Puck in the beginning of the song, where she's like, I'm keeping my baby. I was like, Quinny, no, stop that.
No, it is so insane. And also that Puck is like, let's sing him a lullaby. And she's like, okay, but what if instead we sing this one song that exactly describes what I'm going through right now in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's appropriate for these kids or not. This is what we're singing because it's what I feel on the inside.
Yeah. And like, I was a kid once. Do you ever like think back? Maybe you and I had separate childhoods because you grew up religious and I didn't. But I think back to like movies and like music I listened to. And I do not like remember them ever being suggestive. Like, for instance, I was obsessed with the Spice Girls growing up. And, like, especially the music video for Two Become One. And I had no idea what that song was about. So maybe, like, these kids probably have no idea what she's singing about. But also, jeez Louise, you're not their parent.
Well, also just, like, the point of the song is to, like, calm them down.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you, like, sing a little kid song? Like, it's
so weird.
Or, like,
just a song that's chiller.
Yeah, like, you sing that kind of song if you are, like, really performing and want to, like, impress people. Why does Quinn care so bad about impressing these 7-year-olds?
Yeah, well, she
like,
calls
what's
it, like,
going on with her self-esteem? A real-life music video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
she
ridiculous.
Does a great job, though. I was thinking about it, and I was like, is this, like, the first non-Motown song Quinn has sung? It is. And she does a great job. Cheers to that. She does a great job. I'm like, why doesn't she sing more Madonna, for God's sake?
It's also the last song Quinn will have for quite some time. So
I hate to hear that.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Love Diana Agron so much I could cry.
Also, going off this whole babysitting theme, this whole babysitting scene. When they're tied to the chair and the kids are going crazy, why does one of them have a banana cream pie? Why was there just a cream pie
for comedy, Ian, to suspend your disbelief?
And like,
why does anyone ever have a cream pie?
Another kid slips on a banana peel, and then another kid like pulls a rope, and an anvil falls on Quinn and Puck, and they're like, they're going crazy, they're loony.
I totally didn't even like think about that. That's funny.
It is.
I don't know. Maybe like Quinn brought over a pie. She's wholesome.
Sure. Whatever. Sure. It's ridiculous.
I know.
All right. Well, I'm keeping my baby.
I'm gonna keep my baby.
Up next, we have Hair / Crazy in Love.
That was my witch laugh.
These sound effects are not what I want them to sound like.
Okay.
Let me just say, they're not extreme enough. No, we're going to soldier on ahead because I'm not a quitter. This is, for sure to date, the worst mashup that Glee has done.
Oh, it's
awful. And maybe one of their worst of all time.
I don't even think about the Hair part of it. Like, when they said that they were performing the song from Hair, I'm like, I don't even remember them doing it. And thinking back to it, I literally watched this show less than a couple of hours ago, and I cannot even remember, like, Artie singing the Hair bit. I can't.
It is
so uninteresting and terrible, and those songs do not fit together, and it's awful.
Yeah, it is truly, in honor of Halloween, a true Frankenstein's monster of a mashup.
It doesn't work together.
It is horrifying to look at. It would have been better to keep those songs apart. It does not work at all. It is so bad. And it's like, the number is supposed to be bad, but it's the wrong kind of bad. Like, it's supposed to be, like, comedically bad, and it's just regular bad. And also, here's the deal. Remember in Showmance when they did Push It and Will got in so much trouble because of how sexual the choreography was? Yeah. Literally, this choreography is like only one step down from Push It. The girls bend completely forward and then the guys grind on them and then the girls jump up and straddle the guys. And then even when the girls are dancing by themselves, it is all part of my French. It is all tits and ass. It is all like shoving their boobs out as far as they can and then bending and sticking their butts out. It is just, and then like chest popping and twerking. It is like, besides Push It, the most sexualized choreography we have had. And Will's like, what? Why?
And they're also, the boys are always smacking the girls' butts. It's terrible.
Yeah, I was like, what on earth? Is this the same man who chewed out Rachel because she did Push It? Because now he is doing the same thing.
And at least Push It was fun.
Yeah, at least Push It was funny. And Push It was funny because they were, like, nerdy while they were doing it.
Yeah. I hate this number on such a visceral level. It's so terrible. Like, it's not fun. It's not even, like Push It, like we said, is funny. This is just, like, awkward and weird. And it's supposed, and I understand where it's supposed to be, but it's just supposed to not work.
It isn't comedically bad. It's just bad.
And it also, I am no expert in anything. And I like this podcast to remember that you and me are no experts in anything. But I was thinking about it this morning and I was like, that's so interesting, this storyline, because it's basically them taking what works and what makes one group really special and trying to like do a worse, do another version of it because it's working for them. So it must work for the New Directions, and like appropriating what makes them cool and what makes them special. And like this director, special guest star Eve, obviously knows her students so well that she can like do a whole number that like encapsulates like what they're passionate about and like their strengths and like all of like the cool things about them. And like Will sees that and is like, copy that, which like is a part of a like I think a really huge issue. And I liked the storyline. I think it was cool to have it in there. I don't know that they were aware of what they were doing when they did that, but an interesting thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I never caught on to like the literal appropriation aspect of it.
Yeah, it totally is.
I have always caught on to just how bad of a director Will is and how little faith he has in his students, that he's like, oh, this one group has a gimmick. We're going to steal that exact gimmick. And he like freaking gives the boys wigs. It is like,
it's ridiculous.
Like, it also just feels so untrue to who the writers expect us to believe Will is. That Will consistently is like, I believe in my kids. And like, I believe in this Glee Club so much that he's willing to spend his own money to keep it alive. And then he still thinks that like, they can't perform without wigs because that other group had long hair. So if they don't have long hair, they're not going to measure up. It's so, so stupid.
Yeah. And Rachel goes to him, and this whole thing was started because Rachel went to him to try and like, you know, calm him down and be like, oh, they're not actually good. You're just distracted by their hair and their hairography and like the gimmick of the whole thing, which like, first of all, Rachel, that's a fucking lie. They're actually good. And like, Second, seeing this of Will is so weird because, like, he consistently, like, we've had, like, a few storylines so far that are, like, Will never listens to anyone. Will only does, like, you know, his same old, like, classic rock musical theater thing. And then this, like, going so far the opposite way is so weird. Like, I don't think they know who these characters are, especially Will.
Yeah, because consistently, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. Like, consistently, Will is, like, to his own detriment, stubborn about what they will do.
Definitely.
And then suddenly some random group is like, hey, we do hip hop and we have long hair. And then Will immediately changes his entire mindset to copy that. And that's not consistent with how he has been acting the whole rest of the show.
Yeah. And it's really weird. I feel like that could be, like, if they were any smarter about what they're fucking writing, but they're not, they could bring that in there. They could, like, make that a continuous storyline. But it's like, this episode is, this show really is flying by the seat of its pants every episode. Like, there is almost no consistency. It's mostly with Will in, like, his character and with these kids, especially his teaching style is, like, constantly changing, like, based on who is writing this episode. And it's so frustrating because I think so easily they could have taken, like, those lessons he's learned before where, like, you know, people have wanted to sing different kinds of music and then, like, bring that in there a little bit to make it make more sense. But because they're not thinking about it, they're just, like, doing whatever they want and writing whatever they want, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, it's very infuriating, and I hate the wig interrogatory plotline in this episode. It's terrible. Like, so out of character and dumb, and, like, not really anything funny comes of it, in my opinion. It's just bad.
Not at all. And it's like, oh, Finn needs help with his hairography. Like, baloney, stop, I don't care. And then also, I do not find it funny that Artie got the wig with dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
But also,
it's
that's
a bad
also
look.
The character that does the black scent. So it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't look good. But, you know.
Before we move on from this terrible number, it's just like,
it's not even funny. It's not even fun.
Well, it's not even good. Like, just too crazy in love. Like, the hair segments freaking
suck. Hair is weird.
It's so weird. But just a fun fact before we move on to another number that I hate, Matt Sailing and Corey Monteith were supposed to sing the hair parts, and they recorded the whole thing. And then
Mark Sailing?
And then they brought in Kevin McHale to just do, like, ad-lib stuff to add in. And then while he was in there, they were like, we don't know that this song is super working in Corey and Mark's voices, so could you just sing the whole thing? And then when they got to rehearsal, Mark and Corey thought that it was their song, and then they're like, no, actually, it's Kevin's. All right, up next, we got Imagine. All right, here's
my opinion. Did you
say
you didn't like this number?
I freaking despise this number.
Okay, talk to me
about it. This number, in my mind, is everything wrong with Glee moving forward. It is Glee being so self-important and Glee trying really hard to make a statement and change the world, but exploiting people in the process.
Yeah, totally.
They, like, 100%, and all of these actors are, which I do appreciate this, these are all actual deaf actors from Southern California. Like, they didn't get hearing actors and were like, pretend you're deaf. But they are exploiting, like, the sympathy that they want the audience to feel for these deaf characters so that to, like, motivate Will's change of heart and to, like, make us feel something and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, they're singing freaking Imagine. Like, that is the most on the nose, like, so, like, such a freaking preachy song, especially because it was written by John Lennon, who is, like, fabulously wealthy and so famous, and he's like, but imagine a world where, like, no one was rich and no one was poor. And it was like, well, John, if you want the world to be like that, maybe donate your freaking money. Like, the song is so preachy and in your face and holier than thou. And then for them to be like, like, exploit these people's disability to try and make us feel something. I hate this number so much. It makes me viscerally angry every time I watch it. In my opinion,
I totally agree. That's not, I mean, I would be lying if I said I got that too. My big thing is, it really bothers me that they turn it into a group number. They turn it into the New Directions also singing. I wish it could have just been the School for the Deaf doing the number. Because, like, whatever. But, like, it really bothered, like, it bothered me. And if I was one of those, like, performers, and I was up there performing, and then another group, like, got up, decided my performance wasn't good enough, started doing it with me. Because it's not an activity, it's their performance. And the New Directions just, like, takes it over and is like, oh, look at this sweet moment. That really bothers me.
Yeah, that's also
my issue. I didn't even think
about
the John Lennon aspect of the whole thing.
That, like, freaking Mercedes has the gall to just start singing during someone else's
number.
I'd be
pissed.
And then everyone stands up on stage and, like, invades their space. And, like, everyone's freaking crying.
Yeah.
And they're all singing the song that, like, this other group is supposed to be performing. It is so... so preachy.
And you're right, like, they're using them they're using these, like,
none of these kids have any character.
They're plot devices and their plot devices to make them feel bad, and that's so terrible. I hate seeing, like, plot devices of especially people with disabilities instead of being their own characters, which we know we don't get to meet them for very long, but they don't get their own storyline. This is all about progressing their story forward, and they don't even get to perform their own number. Like, at least the Jane Addams Academy girls get to perform their own number, you know? These kids do not, you know? Mercedes has to go take it from them. I would be so pissed.
Yeah, no, this number makes me roll my eyes every time I watch it. I freaking hate it. Also on Turtle Watch, Will, after they finish Imagine, is crying, like, and he looks like a turtle.
And he does his clap. I'm gonna... ugh.
There it is.
I don't want to say much else about it.
Yeah, let's move on.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
All right. The final number of this episode is Tina Cohen-Chang's first ever solo.
Our queen!
True Colors.
Nice.
Here's the deal. I wrote my notes. I'm glad that Tina's finally getting a solo, but I'm sad that I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't love this song. And I don't love that, you know, Tina's first solo is all about this, like, love pentagram they have going on right now. Pentagon, pentagram, that's the devil.
But how many people are in it? There's Quinn,
there's
Rachel,
six, really.
There's five. Who's the sixth?
But also, I'm adding Santana in there. Because if Kurt is in there, Santana is in there.
Okay, you're right, Hexagon.
This love hexagon they got going on, where everyone's, like, staring at each other, and I don't even get to see my queen, Tina.
I don't mind that, because, I don't know, just, like, at least she got a song. I just don't love this song with her voice.
Okay.
And the number itself is, like, they have freaking, like, screensavers playing behind them. And then they're all wearing, like, solid color t-shirts, like they're singing on Sesame Street.
Yeah, like there's some sort of, like, rainbow connection.
And then the background vocals is, like, the music director was like, make it as breathy as freaking possible. Like, I want you to hurt your vocal cords. It seriously is like, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. I just, none of it works for me. Them sitting on the stools, them in solid colored t-shirts, freaking, like, computer screens in the background. It doesn't work for me. And I don't think it works really well in Jenna Ushkowitz's voice.
Totally.
I think she sings lyrical stuff really well, which mm-hmm. is why I'm freaking pissed that they made her Butcher Tonight earlier when she had it.
I know.
And also I think she sings in season two, Tina gets, in my opinion, her best solo she's ever had. And I'm forever furious about it because they cut it off at like 45 seconds. Like, it's really short.
Redacted. What is it?
It's, no, I'll just say it. I won't say the plot point.
Oh, okay.
But she sings I'll Follow Rivers. The, oh, I'll follow you deep sea, baby.
Oh, yes, yes, yes,
she
yes.
She sings that, and it's barely in the episode, but she sounds freaking incredible on it.
Right.
And I wish they would give her more songs like that.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know what it is about True Colors. I think her voice is maybe too bright on this song for me to love it.
But I get why they chose this song. Like, it, I feel like it fits in context of the show. It's not, like, the song is not my jam. But, like, the whole episode is about, like, deception and, like, what's the word they say a million times?
Distraction. Distraction. Like, it's all about. Are.
Yeah, and this song is, like, it's, like, let's just get to the root of who we are, baby.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, they could have done it.
Yeah. With, it's just a little without it looking like it was me.
The freaking like a PBS special from 2001, you know?
Sure. Yeah, certainly. I also hate singing on stools. I don't know what that is, what that's about.
Well, here's the
I don't
stink.
Like doing it personally. I don't like seeing people do it.
Here's the stink.
Unless you're like a jazz singer and you're taking a break for a number. I like that.
Will says to the Glee Club, he brings out the stools and he's like, we're no longer doing hairography. He says to them, we're going to show who we really are. But mm-hmm. you're a show choir.
I so know.
If who you really are is sitting on stools, maybe you should withdraw from the show choir competition and just be a regular choir.
Yeah.
Like the purpose of show choir is that there is some sort of choreography going on. Yeah. Not just you guys sitting in stools in a line. That it was
this show was really
dumb.
Weird, and I don't know much about show choir, so maybe this makes me not the perfect candidate to host a podcast about a show choir, but what I do know about it in the videos I have seen, I feel like I don't see a lot of, like, because I feel like the Glee Club especially, and in later episodes as well, in performances, they do, like, some sort of, like, breakdown acoustic number where they, like, are just, like, keeping it real. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like I ever see that in, like, actual show choir. What do you think in your stint in show choir?
The 4 days I spent in Allstate Show Choir, we had a set of, like, 5 songs. And we had one song in the middle of the set that was kind of like a more ballady, mm-hmm. just like taking it slow song, and it didn't have a lot of choreography, and it mostly was so that we could catch our breath, but
yeah,
it still had some blocking. It would start out and we were like on our knees, and it started out we were like sitting, and then at a certain line we'd like be on our knees, and then we would like stand up, and then we'd move to a different formation. And
what
it was
song was this, do you remember?
Oh my gosh,
I'm trying to paint the picture in my mind.
I feel good. And when I pray, it's called Anyway. It doesn't always turn out like I think it should, but I do it anyway. I do it anyway. I'd never heard it before.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
But it was that song, and it was the vibe of True Colors, where it was like, mm-hmm. we're going to focus on the vocals, but we still had something going on.
Yeah, totally.
Like, we still, like, moved to a different formation at one point. We still, like, had a show aspect instead of just, like,
yeah.
we're going to be a regular choir and trick you and make you, like, think
but
we're
I do,
a show choir.
I do understand why they did it, though. Because this whole episode is about the choreography of it all and, like, the spectacle of it all. So I understand, like, from a storytelling standpoint why they did it.
In the concept of the story, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
But Will has this number on their set list for sectionals.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And why would this be what you're doing at sectionals in a show choir competition? It doesn't make... Which also is hilarious because then he literally... This number's on the piece of paper that he gives to Sue that's like, mm-hmm. this is our official set list. And then they don't ever mention it again and they pick something else. But that happens
so
all the time.
That so bugs me about this
but
show.
But, like, why would this be... Why would you sit on stools for a show choir competition?
I don't
it doesn't
know.
Make sense. Especially doesn't one where sense. You only get 3 songs. Really dumb.
Right? Hey, man. I don't even know.
Yeah, well.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the episode.
All right.
This episode, thank God we get Sue back.
I know.
Thank God. It's been way too long. And we get Kendra back.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, Kendra. Oh, my God. And especially Kendra in this episode. Like,
my
oh
favorite
my
line in the entire episode is when Will is working on the blue bomber and he leaves and Kendra's like, wow, that car is such a good distraction. I'd get something like that for Phil if I didn't think it'd make him so happy.
My that favorite is line.
The best.
She's such a bitch. I love her. My favorite line is the you got the beauty, I got the brains and the beauty. Like, I loved that. Kendra, jeez.
When she says to Terry when they're in the car with Finn, Mom smoked and drank a bottle of Ruiniti with ice every night when she was pregnant with us, and we're totally normal.
We're totally normal. The way
Kendra is at her best in this episode. She is so funny.
Like, her matching scrunchie to her sweater. Like, everything about her. This woman has been given maybe, like, 7 minutes of screen time in this entire show. And she has a way more fleshed out character than, like, Fran Schuster over there. I swear to God. I love her. I love her. This woman deserves an Emmy nom.
How do we retroactively give Jennifer Aspin an Emmy nom? Please let us know. Going off the Terry and Kendra plotline. Oh, here's another thing. So Will comes home and he finds Quinn in his house talking to his wife. He's not nearly concerned enough about that.
I know.
And she's like, we're sharing pregnancy war stories. Even so, that feels pretty inappropriate that your student would come over to your house without you knowing and just, like, hang out with your spouse.
It is certainly inappropriate, but Quinn did babysit for her and her sister, like, a couple days before. So I would think that, like, if I was babysitting for a woman and her sister, and, like, me and one of the women were going through something similar, I don't think it would be super weird for one of the women to be like, hey, let's get together and talk about it sometime. Like, that doesn't feel super weird. It is only weird when you think about that woman is married to her teacher, and that's weird. But, like,
yeah, I forgot that she had babysat. Now that you say that, it's not that bad.
Yeah, like, she had just been to the house, like, probably, like, a couple days beforehand.
So she's my, like, apologies, William.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not as weird.
Terry has, like, made it known to Will that, like, she feels bad for Quinn and, like, feels a kinship towards Quinn. So I feel like if I was Will in that situation, that would make sense to me. And especially if Will knows what Quinn is going through. I don't know how much Will knows about, like, Quinn being kicked out. But, nope, he knows. Last episode, they sang that song to them.
Yeah, they sang our favorite ballad, Lean On Me.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, looking at my notes, I maybe just want to go through this episode from beginning to end, you know?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
But first, I have to tell you that when I was watching this episode, this is in my notes, I forgot to mention it earlier.
Okay.
That my sister and her husband were heading out to, like, do some errand or something. And I was like, cool,
yes.
I was like, cool, I'll watch Glee while you're gone so you won't have to be subjected to it. And then her husband was like, wait, why? Don't you like, why are you saying we won't have to be subjected to it? And I was like, because it's bad. He's like, don't you like it? And I was like, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And he was like,
I like
then
a
why
lot
do you...
of stuff that's bad.
Yeah. And he was like, but then why do you think it's bad? And I was like, well, it's like the ultimate guilty pleasure. Like, I know that it's terrible and I'm not going to recommend it to anyone.
No.
But it still, like, touches a really deep part of my soul. And then Logan goes, oh, so it's kind of like how I feel about Arby's.
Arby's?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Out of all the things he could have said.
Right.
Oh, so it's kind of like how I feel about Arby's. That is so freaking funny, dude. Jeez Louise.
So This episode, we're just going to do a speed through. We're going to talk about the parts that we have thoughts about.
Let's
episode
do it.
Starts with a beautiful humble brag by Sue.
I know.
Where Sue is
the queen of humble brag.
Yeah, when she asks Will for the set list, she sets it up by saying, "Unless my recent write-up in Splits Magazine naming me cheerleading coach of the decade has driven me completely insane, I'm pretty sure you and I had an agreement that you were going to show me your set list."
Mm-hmm.
Incredible humble
and then
brag.
She's like,
I love
it. Give me my magazine back, please.
And then
it's just right there. I love that woman.
When Will says that he didn't think she was that interested, and she goes, "Not all that interested. I'm fine arts administrator or something."
Or something. Yeah. Jeez. What an introduction back to our dear Sue. I've missed her. I missed her last episode. It's not Glee without her, even though I really did like last episode.
Well,
jeez.
I do respect that. The writers, I don't respect the writers on a lot of stuff they do.
Yeah,
but I do respect
certainly.
That if a character isn't adding anything to the plot of the episode,
yeah,
they don't
totally.
Shoehorn them in. They're just like,
definitely.
Okay, well, they have this week off.
I completely agree. And I think in later episodes, not to do a big spoiler, but I think they do shoehorn Sue into a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of the stuff that like is controversial about this show, none of it is Sue. Everyone loves Sue Sylvester. Like, everyone agrees that she is like a really like funny and awesome part of this show. So I see in a lot of episodes, like places she doesn't belong, her being inserted.
Yeah. Leapfrogging to Jane Addams Academy, for my notes
yes.
at least. Feel free to pipe in if I skip a scene that
I
you
will.
Have thoughts about. The girl who Eve is talking to at the beginning, what a line
mm-hmm.
reading. When Eve says, "Why did you rob a bank?"
Know.
And she goes, "Because, Miss Hitchens, that's where they keep the money." That
and I was like, yeah.
Like, way to make.
Duh.
There are no
like,
small
Eve, why
parts,
are you asking
just
these
small
questions?
Actors.
Honestly.
She
wow.
really went for it.
That's something I do love about this show, is I feel like everyone is just so pumped to be there, especially, like, the background characters and, like, people like Mike and people like Matt and, like, you know, her, like, it's so exciting to see them just be so enthusiastic about these small parts they have. I honestly love to hear it. I love to see it. Sometimes I think they're better than, you know, other people with bigger parts. I'll say
yeah,
it.
Well, small parts are the dream because you get to make, because you don't, like, when you have a big part, you have to base your choices on what the text tells you about your character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you have a small part, you just decide what your character is.
Literally.
You're just like, I don't know, they talk like this because nothing in the script says they don't.
Literally.
Small parts can be a banger.
Small parts are it.
So back in the same scene, when Will talks to Eve, and he says to her that he thinks that she has a set list, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, you think we're cheating, all this stuff. And she says, and anyways, we wouldn't need to cheat because from what I hear, we're going to take you. And he says, who do you hear that from? And she says, I have my spies at your invitational. And I was like, yeah, and there was some alcoholic middle-aged woman who kept groping
literally.
All the boys on stage. And I was like, yeah, I think we can take this school.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
All right, let's talk about the Kurt and the Rachel of it all.
The Kurt and the Rachel of it all. You know, very good advice he gives her about the eyebrows thing. I learned that, and that's why I, you know, people always talk about how, like, they fucked up their eyebrows when they were growing up because they, like, plucked them too much. But Kurt says to Rachel, do it from the the bottom and just shape from the bottom. And that is very good advice. And I accredit that to my eyebrows not being fucked up.
Did you learn that from Glee?
Yeah. I have, like, a very low-maintenance mom, and, like, my eyebrows and, like, all my family's eyebrows, we all have, like, very light hair, so no one taught me how to do my eyebrows other than Kurt.
Here's my biggest thought about this whole plot line.
Okay.
This whole plot line hinges on the fact that Kurt realizes that Rachel likes Finn, and so he sabotages her.
Yes.
But he doesn't realize that Rachel likes Finn until halfway through the makeover. How freaking blind
how?
Is Kurt?
I know.
It has been, like, pretty explicitly obvious. Like, Quinn knows that Rachel likes
Since
Kurt.
Since the first episode,
I mean, Rachel
yeah.
likes Finn. Everyone knows. How on earth is that news to him?
He's just blinded by love, you know?
then after this whole, like, he gives Rachel a makeover, and then Rachel tries to come on to Finn, and then Finn's like, I don't like you, this, I like the way you normally dress, blah, blah, blah. And then Finn goes to talk to Quinn at the end of the episode, and yeah. Quinn is all sad because she found out that Puck had been sexting Santana, and she's like, Puck's actually a bad dude, but like, we yeah. already knew that.
Yeah, I don't know why she's acting surprised about that.
She talks to Finn, and she wants them to be in love again. And then Finn says to Quinn, he's like, but I have to tell you something first because I want to be completely honest with you. On Friday night, I went over to Rachel's. And Quinn has this look on her face like it's the first time she's hearing this. And yeah. she is so shocked and betrayed. She set that whole thing up.
I know, because like, she wanted this all to happen so she could hang out with Puck. I don't know why.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like she's trying to like trick Finn into thinking she didn't know. It reads as Quinn legitimately, this is new information to her. She had no yeah. idea this happened. You like explicitly,
she was trying to get this to happen. Yeah.
And explicitly on Friday night, you were trying to get Finn to be with Rachel so that you could be with Puck. Why yep. is that all of a sudden new information that you've never I heard know. Before?
Is she just like acting? Like, is Quinn supposed to be a very good actor? Whatever.
I do not think she's acting.
The way that Finn acts like he is so remorseful for going over to Rachel's house and for shutting everything down. I'm like, did they all forget that they have kissed 2 times?
I was thinking that too.
Like,
fair, when they kissed before, Quinn was not pregnant yet.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it felt as much of as like he wasn't as in it with Quinn as when he thought that he had a baby on the way with her.
And April Rhodes not taken?
Rachel? Oh, they do kiss in April Rhodes not taken. Because
that's the rate. Mm-hmm. They kiss the bowling alley. And he knew. He knew. That's the thing. Is he just barely knew, too. No one else knew. Rachel didn't know, but he knew.
Does he kiss uh-huh. her in that episode? Or do they just
He
hug?
Does. At the bowling alley. They kiss at the bowling alley. And then she rejoins Glee because she wants to be with Finn. Because Finn, like, tries to like seduce her into joining Glee. Remember?
I remember all of that. I just didn't remember that they actually kissed.
Yeah, they kissed, and it's a Dang. Good one too. Oh, to be either of them. So like, but like, and Finn sets this whole thing up like he is like doing a good thing by like apologizing to Quinn. Why wouldn't he apologize for kissing her before that? Like, why is he act like this is just like bad guy shit? Like, this is like not drinking his respect women juice if he's actively choosing not to tell her this. But like, yeah, they don't make a big deal of it, you know? Like,
but
I feel like
he was like, I want us to be completely honest with each other. Mm-hmm. And then he left out the 2 times that he kissed someone else. And I was like, yep. But why?
What? But you're going to say that like, you would have kissed her? I don't know. It's weird.
Anyways. We can talk a little bit about Puck and Quinn. We talked about Papa Don't Preach already.
We did. Puck and Quinn. So Quinn asks Puck to come babysit with her to try and like put him through the test run to see how good of a dad he would be. And they do a great job babysitting. Like, they put the kids to bed and Kendra's like, I don't think I've ever seen them asleep all at the same time. And they, like, give him a bath, and they're, like, great babysitters.
When Santana confronts Quinn, I hate to say it, because I love Santana, I love Naya Rivera.
Yep.
And part of it is the dialogue. That scene is terrible.
Oh, it's terrible. She's like, back off my band.
When she says to Quinn, why don't you check his phone, because my sex are too hot to erase. Are you joking me with that dialogue?
No.
Incredible.
It's terrible. It's really terrible. The thing that is weird to me is like Quinn gets so upset with Puck. And I like upset to the point where she like calls the entire thing off with Puck, but I don't think Puck understood that they were actually like trying the thing out, because like, let's be honest, Quinn is literally dating Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is she so upset with Puck for being someone who is single? I don't know. Like, no, she just gets so
you have a point 100%. And I think it is true that Quinn was never like, hey, Puck, so tonight I'm going to see if I should break up with Finn and be with you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I can see in her mindset that that was her mindset. And she was like, oh, Puck's being a really good dad. And he also is like being really good to me. And then to find
and
out
literally
that he was,
while that's happening.
Yeah, yeah. It just felt like a betrayal. And so although
and
she never
sucks,
said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I so like I can understand why she felt that way. And also, like, she shouldn't be with Puck because he sucks anyway. So she made the right choice by calling it off.
Could you imagine?
My final thoughts about this episode are the final two scenes with Sue. Sue just has so many good lines.
Okay.
She says, Will gives her the set list and she's looking through it. And she's like, ooh, Proud Mary, Smoking Hot, Deep Cut. And then Will laughs and goes, Smoking Hot, Don't Mock Me.
Oh, I love her.
In the next scene, when she is offering the set list to Dalton Rumba and Grace Hitchens, and she says, like, I think that you guys should do these songs, and I'll make sure they go last, and it will look like they copied you. And Grace Hitchens goes, who do you think I am? And Sue goes, well, that's a very good question, because I've actually forgotten both of your names.
I love Sue.
And that's those are all my thoughts on the Halloween classic, well, Halloweenography.
I want to talk about Rachel. Just
oh,
as
go,
our closing.
Go.
So, Rachel in this episode, so Kurt, like, sets her up to, like, try and seduce Quinn. No, not Quinn, Finn. Oh, I wish he was seducing Quinn. To seduce Finn. And
this is where Faberi becomes canon, is in this episode.
Could you imagine? Anyway, so only Rachel would take this advice that Kurt gives her to, like, act a little bit like Sandy and to put on the Sandy outfit.
Yeah, a literal
only
Sandy
Rachel
costume.
And I love her for it. The way she just, like, she cannot do anything halfway. It brings me so much joy. I love this Rachel. Like, that poor bitch. Like, I feel so bad for her. But, like, the way that she just full sends on screen. I love it. I, like, only her would take this, like little tidbit. Like, just a metaphor that Kurt used. And just, like, nail it to the wall. I love her.
Kurt dressed her up the other day, but, like, she on her own does not have the ability to, like, actually be that kind of sexy. That she is, like, too intense and weird for it to actually work and for her to not take be kind of like Sandy completely literally.
Yep, yep. Like, she, what a fun, sweet quality about her. I just am obsessed with it. I just.
All right. Well, those are all of our thoughts.
Yeah.
On hairography. Hairography. Hairography.
Ian.
That, why would you put 4 seconds of silence at the beginning of a
sound?
I don't
know. That's weird.
They're trying to make me look bad.
They are. What was your favorite part of this episode, Ian?
Best
part, worst part. Go.
My best part of this episode. Holy, what happened in this episode? Did we just talk about it? Because I can't remember. I know my worst part. My best part of this episode is Kendra.
Kendra.
Killer.
Killer Kendra.
Killer
She's
Queen
my best
Kendra.
Part.
She's amazing. So good.
Very funny. What was your best part?
I think, okay, I don't think we talked about this in the episode, but I think it is my best part. The part where Quinn goes in to talk to Terry and tells her that she is still going to give Terry the baby. And then Will walks in and they're talking about how, you know, Quinn's really worried that, like, Finn and also Puck are not going to be good dads. And then Kendra's like, I really think Will will be a great dad. And then Will walks in and then Quinn gives Will a hug.
Yeah, that is
so
really
precious.
Sweet.
It was really sweet. Like, and especially, like, for this girl who just, her family just disowned her, to, like, have that moment with Will that is, like, really precious and just really precious. I think that was my best part. All right, Ian, what was your worst part?
My worst part is this entire scene. Crazy in love / hair through Imagine.
Yeah.
That whole
yep.
scene sucks.
Terrible.
I hate
Terrible.
That scene.
Yeah.
What was your worst part?
I'm thinking my worst part. Jace. This episode was good. I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I just think... I take it back. The inconsistency with Will's character is getting on my goddamn nerves. I don't like it anymore. It's really bothering me. I don't like this flip-flop, especially with his teaching style. Like, it makes me mad. Like, these writers need to, like, sit down at the beginning of a season and be like, this is who these characters are. But, like, you know, the show is still new in this stage and... they don't know what they're doing, and it's I'm getting sick of it.
Yeah,
that was my worst part.
All right, well, that's a season all wrap right. On episode 11, horrorography. All right, happy Halloween, everyone.
Watch a scary movie for us. Tag us on the internet
if you want to follow us on social media. You can find us on terrifying Twitter at Recovering Gleek. Eye popping Instagram.
Ew.
And oh gosh, TikTok always also starts with a T. Terrible TikTok at Recovering Gleek _ podcast. Please leave us a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts.
Google.
Because that's how other people will find our podcast.
And then we can go on tour.
And if you're over 18, please vote. All right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm dropping off my ballot today.
Well. Have a happy and safe Halloween. Remember.
Please vote.
Please have fun. But yeah. We are still in a pandemic.
Yeah. Have fun in your homes. I'm doing some like full moon stuff in my house.
My sister and I are going to dress in costumes and watch scary movies.
Oh, nice. You should watch Sorority Row.
We shouldn't. I'm telling you, it's bad. I don't want to see it.
But you should.
All right.
We love you guys. Go spread some glee.
May you spread some gory glee.
The way you've done this and I have not even participated is disappointing.
I'm trying to theme the episode.
No.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Hurry back.
We'll see you next time.
Hurry back. Be sure to bring your death certificate.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.